Rhythm and harmony in a mysterious universe, united we stand. We crave perspective to understand a mysterious universe pulsing with rhythmic harmony and energy. Let's today compare and contrast scientific mindsets with earth-centered wisdom. The latter resonates with myth, fable, and legend. However, both models reflect humanity's quest to comprehend a mysterious world, a cosmos, to explain it. We employ these models to assuage anxiety and fear of the unknown, perhaps to predict expected outcomes from actions. Craving certainty, some folks may even ache for a certain dogma or roadmap of clarity to ensure and to endure their lives in this spinning, breathing world, scarce half made up, as the bard would say. Now, while science rests on empirical observation that utilizes control, independent, and dependent variables to test hypotheses, earth-centered wisdoms focus on subjective analysis, stories, myths, and fables. Powerful as they may be, they explain the world on an intuitive or subjective level, and they may lack, and often do, objective observation, as well as predictive ability or causality. However, delving more deeply, do science and earth-centered wisdom really lie in total conflict? What if we see that these two worldviews are often in accord and perhaps somewhat complementary? Before sallying forth, let's pause to ponder our stained glass ribbons above the altar. They intertwine to complement one another, sometimes with complementary colors. Our stained glass window is an evocative metaphor of our theme, United We Stand. We observe differences in shapes and hues, and we honor each strand. These hues and tones ebb and flow with sunlight's intensity and slants. They ebb and flow as do waves that caress shores of ancient inland seas long ago, shores lapped by briny waters, perhaps overbrimmed with musings to comfort forlorn, lonely souls. This transcendent metaphor has been honored by Unitarians, including Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson. They often observe that humanity is really of one existence, and perhaps fogged vision blurs our view. Now, bridging science with earth-centered wisdom, I'll begin with Adam Smith and economics. Smith's economics says that each agent works to maximize his own well-being, and the invisible hand clears the market with the most efficient allocation of resources. This served as a cornerstone of economic theory for over 150 years. However, Smith's view is incomplete. We now know that this is not the most efficient way to allocate scarce resources. Professor John Nash of Princeton University earned a Nobel Prize in economics by showing that Adam Smith was incorrect and incomplete. A far more efficient allocation of resources occurs when actors search for the best outcome, not just for themselves, but also for the much larger group. Adam Smith's science of economics proved both incomplete and dismal. Now compare Smith's scientific theory of economics with the perspective of earth-centered cultures. They hold dear a connection to the earth that admonishes them to honor and to protect a fragile planet. What's best for an individual must also serve the interests of the larger group, and that includes the earth. Science is gaining via the Gaia principle, for example, that organisms interact with inorganic surroundings on Earth to form synergistic, self-regulating complex systems that aid to perpetuate the conditions of life on the planet. So similarly, we aim to build a just and compassionate world. And quoting from Chief Seattle, humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. And of course, our seventh principle. These two examples show how science is slowly advancing to the wisdom of earth-centered traditions. Next, let's consider perception and quantum theory. Quantum physicist Dr. Amit Goswami is a revolutionary who ventured into the domain of the spiritual to interpret strange experimental findings. Dr. Goswami observed that how we view the world often determines what's seen. And similarly, in Celtic folklore, this idea holds. We say that we don't clearly see something until we view it through a prism of love's light to see it wholly. Comparing scientific discoveries with the wisdom of earth-centered spiritualism recognize that both models explain, or attempt to explain, a mysterious cosmos, one brimming with energy and rhythms. Mathematics, a universal language, underscores these rhythms in prime blessed harmony. These mysteries have fascinated humans for millennia, and we've only just begun to see. The Nobel physicist Niels Bohr hypothesized a century ago that we live in a quantum universe. He helped to explain energy and matter at an atomic level. He explored how electrons in orbital shells may jump into other orbital shells, a lower one perhaps, and met quantum of energy in the process. In 1922, Bohr was awarded a Nobel Prize in Physics for his service in the investigation of the structures of atom and of the radiation that is emitted and emanates from them. Then, using ideas from quantum theory, Dr. Goswami postulated that how we view the world determines what we experience. Reality may consist of quantum probability waves, and what we encounter depends upon how the quantum viewer views the world. Moreover, Professor Einstein observed that we each decide our worldview. Is the world benevolent, brimming with possibility, or is it a hostile world? Einstein says that decision frames our endeavors and is the most fundamental choice that we make and revolves around how we see the world. He says, do we see it qua beneficent or qua hostile? The choice is yours. Similarly, American Indians relate a story of a brave whose pony bolted, leaving him no mount. Now, was that bad luck? When his fellow braves battled another tribe on horseback that very day, most were killed. Was it unfortunate that his pony had fled and he was saved? The answer depends upon the point of view. According to Dr. Goswami, there is a subtle point in quantum theory. It concerns how the observer makes the choice. If he is resonating with a higher consciousness, one for the common good or the welfare, then the viewer will be able to actually change reality. Now, this same theme is showcased in The Legend of King Arthur. Only a servant seeking to unite England for a common good might wield the Excalibur's might. Similarly, in J.K. Rowling's The Sorcerer's Stone, only one pure of heart may employ the stone's magic. Accordingly, Voldemort, a depraved soul, cannot. Thus, we protect the earth and one another for a common welfare. We do this for others and to the earth, and what we do to others and to ourselves, to the earth, we do to ourselves. This is a transcendent point of view. And this is another quote from Chief Seattle. He said that all things share the same breath. The beasts, the plants, the men, the animals, the air is shared by everyone from the Great Spirit and supports all life. The Nobel physicist Edwin Schrödinger, who came up with the famous equation about electron waves, once noted, quantum physics thus reveals a basic oneness of the universe. He underscored interconnection and oneness, transcendence. Now, transcendent love. The novelist Thornton Wilder won a Pulitzer for The Bridge of St. Louis Ray. The major theme in that novel is love's preeminence, in which five people perish with the fall of the Bridge of St. Louis Ray. They had sought love, and through a tragic accident, they died, but love remained. Thornton Wilder penned, "There is a land of the living and a land of the dead, and the bridge is love, the only survival, the only meaning." We search for meaning, often defined by love's might. Professor Carl Sagan of Cornell once said, contemplating a search for discernment, "For such small creatures as us, the vastness is bearable only through love." He echoed Wilder's sentiment that love is the only meaning, the only survival. Similarly, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin observed, "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of man, we will have discovered fire." We aim to bring love and reason to life. As an aside, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin also conceived the idea of the omega point, which is his thought that a maximum level of complexity and consciousness was being moved toward, and he believed the universe was evolving in that manner towards a maximum level of complexity and consciousness, perhaps cosmic. Impenetrable mystery. We live in a universe pulsing with mystery, impenetrable in scope and radiant in beauty. In this cosmos, light slows under gravity, linked with the slowing of time in intense fields of gravity. The bending of light means that gravity warps space, predicted by the general theory of relativity, which is the geometric theory of gravitation published by Albert Einstein in 1915, and the current description of gravitation. This combined effect of time and space doubles the bending of light, and that bending and slowing of light is both measurable by the sun, is measurable and has been measured, verifying his theory. Mystery intensifies as we delve deeply. Inuit Indians related a story of how two men observed the cosmos one starry night. They climbed a hill to seek a closer view, and where the night sky magic and mystery overcame them. One asked for a boost to ascend the sky and to peer more deeply into the cosmos. The second man felt dismayed to see the first one, overcome with awe, scampering off above the clouds to shimmer in the night sky majesty. He relished a leg up to join in a cosmic dance. Reflecting on this search for meaning, Professor Einstein observed, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It's the source of all true art and science. He to whom the emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead, his eyes are closed. To know what is impenetrable to us is really that it exists and manifests itself at the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty, which our dull faculties can comprehend only in their most basic form. This knowledge, this feeling, is at the center of true religiousness. We live in a cosmos where warped space stretches objects via tidal forces of gravity. Professor Einstein predicted tidal ripples of gravity, although weak, gravity waves that stretch objects in alternating directions. They are very weak, but gravity waves may be detectable from violent cosmic events," see his prediction. "And this energy permeates every living creature in the universe. Let's consider a poem by the romantic poet William Wordsworth, perhaps inspired by this knowledge, or thinking of that energy and mystery imbue all. Upon Westminster Bridge, September 3, 1802.
Fair. Dull would he be of soul who could pass by a sight so touching in its majesty. This city now doth like a garment wear
the beauty of the morning, silent, bare. Ships, towers, domes, theaters, and temples lie open unto the fields and to the sky, all bright and glittering in the smokeless air.
Never did sun more beautifully steep in his first splendor valley, rock, or hill. Ne'er saw I, never felt a calm so deep. The river glideth at his own sweet will. Dear God, the very houses seem asleep, and all that mighty heart is lying still."
Creativity and transcendence. During a train journey aboard the Santa Fe Chief when I was 4, my father and I watched as the train passed through Pomona, California. It was still early in the morning. Aromas of orange blossoms felt intoxicating. Their fragrance paired with the swaying cars in a pre-dawn hour as we glided towards Los Angeles. Dad dangled a handkerchief over his face in the quarter light from the homes and the streetlights. And he said, "The houses are alive. Even the pebbles in the driveways are bursting out all over with life. Animation streams everywhere, and that's an honored precept of Taoism, and it is a transcendent world if we but choose to see." Are we willing to view the world creatively with a mind open to possibilities? For example, we now know that observer speed does not affect the speed of light. No signal or energy travels faster than light. For higher speeds, 1 + 1 does not equal 2. Similarly, in Earth-based stories, there's a great spirit who beckons us creatively. I've long held that these mindsets of Earth-centered spirituality have motivated romantic poets. And here's an excerpt from Wordsworth's Intimations of Immortality, Recollections from Early Childhood.
"Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar.
not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but traveling clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home.
Heaven lies about us in our infancy. Shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy, but he beholds the light, and whence it flows, he sees it in his joy.
Wordsworth challenges us to consider that we're spiritual beings in a physical world. Ours is perhaps a mere twinkling in the eye of a greater existence when immortal. Shall we suspend disbelief just long enough to consider the possibility? As Pierre-Thierry de Chardin observed, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. As I lay crippled from a rare bone disease at the age of 5, I savored the luxury of time to think, to imagine, and to explore, at least mentally. By age 5, I dogged era a set of the Blue Book of Knowledge, a 1930s edition. My favorite illustration pictured Sir Isaac Newton conducting optics experiments in the Royal Academy. There he stood, studying a kaleidoscope of colors from sunlight refracted by prisms. That riot of color enthralled me, and I oftentimes squinted between my right thumb and index as I aimed to pinch the prism's light together from Newton into a prism's light conjunction. A prism's light conjunction or unity into a wholeness, merely for the refreshment of it. That inspired me to major in science and engineering. Since then, rainbows have enchanted me. These stained glass windows remind me of that. So once again, let's ponder our stained glass. Those colored strands bring to mind the famous song whose bars introduce my sermon, Rainbow Connection. Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong. Wait and see. We'll find it one day, the rainbow's connection, the lovers and dreamers and me. And I'd add my little version that someday we'll find it, a prism's light conjunction, the explorers, daydreamers, and me. One day we'll find it, a prism's light conjunction. We'll find it merging into a wholeness. We'll view the oneness of everything. If love is a great survivor, as Wilder said, the only meaning, then what is its opposite? It's not hatred, no. The opposite of love is fear. May we suspend fear of the unknown to consider these possibilities. The possibility that science and earth-centered wisdoms aren't totally in conflict. Rather, they sometimes complement one another. As science advances to keep pace with ancient fonts of wisdom, may we revel in a rhythm and harmony of a mysterious universe, underpinned by mathematics, a universal language. May we join a cosmic dance, appreciating differences, yes, complementing one another, to bring love and reason to life, and with love's meaning, may we build a just and compassionate world, imbued with mystery, exploration, and wonder. United we stand, and we realize that the best times lie ahead, days of exploration and discovery as we venture into a grand and mysterious universe to join in a riot of color, a kaleidoscope of dance.